Hello, everyone. Welcome to Good You. I'm your host, Samantha, and this week is National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. So in today's episode, we will be talking about eating disorders, and we're going to have a guest come on, and she's going to talk about her journey with her relationship with food and her current relationship with food. So I hope you enjoy today's podcast. Let's get into it. So why I feel like today's episode is really important is, I mean, obvious reasons. If you or someone you know has struggled with an eating disorder in the past, you've seen what it can do to not only that person, but to the family and to their loved ones around them. Personally, I've gone through struggles with my eating especially when I was younger in high school. Which is very, very common. And I think that the more we educate and stop trying to avoid uncomfortable subjects, the more we can actually make progress with working with people with eating disorders and even other things past that. I think as a society, we try to avoid talking about the uncomfortable, but in reality, you're just pushing back, moving forward. So truly, I want today to be educational, and I'd like to be able to use this as a safe space for everyone that is also uncomfortable with talking about this. So I invited my friend Mary on, and I think that she's going to be the perfect person to make this really hard subject to talk about into one that everyone can relate to. I do want to give a trigger warning. This is an episode about eating disorders, so we go into talking about her history with eating disorders, her current uses of eating disorders, and body dysmorphic disorder. But I also want to give another trigger warning to the fact that I think might be offensive to some people is that Mary and I tend to, when we talk with each other, we really do talk lighthearted with each other. And it's not that we're not taking the subject seriously. And we do mention this while we're talking. It's that I think both of us can agree, and we did actually agree on this, is that it's hard to be serious about it without crying. So a lot of people tend to laugh to avoid crying. So if you see people laughing in super uncomfortable situations, I have a friend that's laughed at a funeral. I know I've laughed in really not the most appropriate situations, and I don't want anyone to take that as an offensive thing. I think it's just how we both cope with talking about something seriously. So if that is going to be harmful for you to listen to, please skip this episode. I really would rather no one be hurt by hearing anything. I just want everyone to understand that that's just how we cope with uncomfortableness. And that's something that I'd like to work on. And I talk to my teachers about in every class that I take that requires more seriousness, so I can get advice on how to move past doing that. Because I actually understand that I'm being avoidant of the situation. I'm being avoidant of the seriousness of the situation. And even though I'm trying not to cry, right, I do understand that crying can be a good thing, and I don't need to always avoid crying, right? So I just wanted to give those little warnings. And if that does seem like that would be more disturbing to you, definitely please move forward. And I really do. If it aren't, please enjoy the rest of the episode. I do think that Mary has some great topics to talk about, and as you'll see, current struggles that she talks about. So I just want to make sure that everyone is comfortable and know that this is going to be one of the more serious episodes that I have, and I want it to be taken seriously, but at the same time be able to make it to comfortable for everyone. So if you don't like serious stuff and you'd like to laugh, and if you like to be more lighthearted but also be serious and talk about the seriousness of things, this would be the perfect episode for you. And I hope you enjoy it. Hello, Mary. Thank you for joining today. I'd love for you to give like a little introduction of yourself.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. This is my first podcast that I have ever been featured on, so I'm honored. So my name is Mary. I met Sam in college, Samantha. I met Samantha in college. We were next door neighbors, and I was going to BRCC. She was at LSU. We became good friends pretty quickly. And then, I was studying marketing, I guess, and I have a golden retriever. I didn't have an intro planned in my head on the spot, but that's all that I can come that's up perfect. With right now. Those are the main things.
That's how we know each other.
Exactly.
I mean, like, we met because, well, technically it wasn't because of Mary or anything. It was really because of her dog, Charlie. He really brought us together, and he is the glue to our relationship to this day. I mean,
he's holding it together single-handedly.
No, I'm kidding. An absolute angel. Well, I know
just the best.
The best. I know that you know what today's episode is about, and I'm just curious to why you decided to join on today's episode.
Definitely. So I know when you mentioned you wanted to do an episode regarding this topic, I was thinking like this is so close to home, and it's something that we talk about very often. So I kind of knew like it would be, I feel like, just really good to like, especially with like our friendship, just having like a candid conversation about it. That was one of the reasons. Also, I have struggled with eating disorders for the last 10 years. It kind of started when I was 16, and it's something that affects me every day. I know personally, I have a lot of friends who struggle with the same issues. And the one thing that comforts me, honestly, is that I'm not alone in the way that I feel in my relationship with food. It's not that I wish this on anyone else. Like, I'm not glad that a ton of other people have it. It's mainly that knowing that I'm not the only one that struggles with these issues, I guess, makes me feel a little bit better. It makes me feel kind of more normal. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to come on this episode specifically because I feel like maybe there's people out there that are feeling down on themselves, and maybe they don't have like friends that relate. Like, I'm lucky. Like, when I talk to you about like how I'm feeling, like about, you know, my body dysmorphia and things like that, like you can relate a little bit. And you don't make me feel like there's something wrong with me. You know what I mean? So if there's anyone else that's out there, like maybe they don't have someone like that, at least they can listen to this, and then maybe they won't feel alone as well.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. It definitely takes a lot of vulnerability and honesty to be able to come on and talk about something like this. It's really important. Obviously, this week is National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. And I thought that, you know, like you said, we do talk about this subject a lot. It does bring comfort to me to be able to talk to you about it, because I think that it's hard talking to someone who hasn't gone through it and doesn't understand like the struggles that happen to this day with food. And it's hard to learn your relationship with food, because you're learning your relationship with your body, and it's something that some people just don't get. So I do appreciate having you as my ear as well. But
absolutely.
I'd love to, if you could, just tell us a little bit about your relationship history with food.
Yeah, most definitely. So it's interesting. It started when I was, I guess, pretty young. Like, I always had a fast metabolism when I was younger. I'm sure, like a lot of people in their teens, at least compared to when they get older, it obviously like slows down for everyone. But for me, I think it was extra fast. I ate whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. I was never conscious of health foods or making healthy choices. Like I was a savage, and I was like 10 years old and had a six pack. Like I never didn't have one. Poor me, honestly. No, but it seems like, I know it's sad. No, it seems like I was set up for success at a young age. Eventually, I started to get bad like anxiety though around like 10th grade. So I never thought about food. I never thought about my like self-image. But when I started to get like pretty bad anxiety, it caused me to not want to eat. Like that was kind of how I reacted. So I started to lose weight like rapidly, and like being skinny started to become an addiction, like feeling hungry. Like I really like enjoyed like my stomach being empty. I loved that like my clothes were too big, and like the size small and size zero were too big. So when people told me that I was like disgustingly skinny, like of course, like when you're in high school, like your friends aren't conscious about how bad this is to say, I guess, like compared to like when you get older. Like now, like we would never say this to someone, but they would be like, oh my God, like Mary, you're disgustingly skinny. You look like a corpse. And I would be like, thank you. Like they weren't saying it like, oh my gosh, like you're so skinny. They were literally like insulting me. And I was like, thank you so much.
That's so
seriously, thank
crazy.
You. Like,
I feel like high school was brutal too. Like, Maybe they are still that. Who knows? But once it hits 20s, it really does get better for any high schoolers out there. Man, it's rough.
Dude, you're not lying. Like, I don't know if there's like a page that you turn when you become like 20 or 22 when you're like, you can't like, you know, you got to lift people up. Yeah. Like, don't point it out. Like, don't comment on people's body. Mm-hmm. But I was flattered, honestly. What's scary is that even though the clothes were like too big and like I couldn't like pinch any of my skin, like because there was nothing to pinch, like I felt like I had a pudgy belly, and I was constantly like criticizing my body, and mainly my belly, really. But honestly, recently, like I found out, I don't know if it was like a meme or something, but someone, it was like a picture of a body, and it was like pointing to like a fupa, basically like a woman's lower belly, and it was like, this is your ovaries. Like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but this will never be like super thin on everyone.
Yeah. Some women are like,
these are your organs,
not meant to have a flat stomach. And yeah, that's kind of the motto I live by to now, you know.
It's I just never knew. No one ever told me. Those are my organs. But anyway, so I think that's what I was trying to shrink this whole time. No, but I wasn't happy when I looked in the mirror and saw photos of myself. And I didn't know at that time what body dysmorphia was. And really, I wish I did, because I felt like I could have probably tackled these issues sooner. It wasn't until like maybe 2 or 3 years ago that I even learned what body dysmorphia was. So that shook me, honestly. I had such a problem with eating that my mom would weigh me once a week. And if I fell below a certain number, she would threaten to bring me to like a doctor or a facility. And I really can't remember where she was threatening to bring me. And I think it was because they were empty threats. Like my mom like wasn't, she didn't like really believe in like, you know, like therapy and things like that. So I think wherever it was, though, I definitely didn't want to go. So I would put a bunch of like stuff in my pockets, like weight rocks to tip the scale to make sure that I was on the heavier side. It's interesting, too, because even then I didn't think that I had a problem. I just couldn't eat. Like I just wasn't hungry. Food didn't sound good to me. And I liked feeling hungry and being skinny. It was just like an obsession almost. So I was never diagnosed, but I for sure had anorexia from about 16 to 18.
So do you think you were aware that you had that at the time, or was it something that you recognized later on?
So I think that it's something that I recognized later on. 'Cause like, I remember like thinking my mom is absolutely ridiculous, and like looking back at pictures, like I literally have chills right now. thinking about how skinny I was and thinking about how it just felt like a regular day. I'm like, oh, my mom's weighing me again today. She's so crazy. Like, I can't believe her. Like, I just don't want to eat. But like thinking back, like, I mean, I would maybe eat like 300 calories a day. Like she would wake up early, make me an omelet or like make me like this, like banana pancakes. She at first started, like she's such a health nut. So I remember at the beginning of these issues when I was like 15 and 16, she would still try to make me something healthy. Like she's like putting broccoli sprouts in an omelet and like sweet potatoes, and I wouldn't eat it. And I, looking back, it's like sad because when I think she started to get extra worried, like she was making me like banana pancakes covered in butter and like Steen's pure cane syrup. So like she was doing all that she could just to try to get me to eat. So yeah, I think at the time I definitely did not think that I had a problem. But as the years went on and like once I finally started like learning more about like eating disorders, like looking back, like it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. So that's kind of like the beginning is like where it started. So that was 16 to about 18. Honestly, when I went to college, like I met Sam when I was 18. So when I met you, like I was in college, like I started getting into the devil's lettuce a little bit. I had been known to start partaking in the marijuana, and I had I guess maybe I had better friends too. I don't know. My anxiety went away a little bit. I went to college. I lived kind of by myself, and I had my own space, and things started to get a little bit better. I wasn't really obsessing over it all day. Like I was just kind of living my life, like being in college, going out, drinking, and just I did start eating, and I did gain. I was like not a healthy weight, but it was better. It was better, and it was something that I wasn't obsessing over all day, every day. So 2 years went by. When I was 20, I moved from Louisiana to Colorado by myself. I went there to transfer schools. I moved there to go to the Art Institute to study fashion design. I didn't know anyone there. I didn't know anyone in the whole state. As soon as I got there, I kind of feel like I went into a bit of a depression. I remember my dad helping me move. And when I brought him to the airport, like for him to go back home to Baton Rouge, I cried immediately when I said goodbye. And I think for a week after that too, maybe a month, because I didn't realize like how much I would miss my family and friends. I was so excited to leave. Like I'm leaving Louisiana. Like I'll never see any of you again. Like I'm going to the big city.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I'm leaving. I'm never coming back. I knew that I would miss people. Like you're my best friend on earth. But we FaceTime every day. So I was like, I mean, you know, we'll fly and
for
see each other.
Hours.
I just,
a day.
Yeah, hours. It's ridiculous. Like sometimes like 7 hours.
Like it was our job actually. Like a 9 to 5.
Literally. I just didn't realize how much I would miss them. Like going your whole life, everyone lives where you live to no one, like not a soul. And like, you're only 20 years old. So basically I continued to partake in the marijuana. I smoked a lot of weed and I just ate all day for months. Like I started binge eating. So now I'm on the complete opposite spectrum. Like, I don't know why this became a comfort for me. I gained a good amount of weight. So it wasn't a good amount of weight. Like I could afford to gain this weight, but anyone that gains like 20 pounds, like you're going to be upset. So I was just binge eating all day. I gained 20 pounds pretty quickly. Like it maybe took 2 months and I was still probably considered underweight, honestly, for my like height, but like clothes were getting tight. And when I saw myself in photos, like I didn't really recognize myself. Mm-hmm. So this is when I started kind of getting into fad diets. I learned about keto. I started going to the gym, which that's healthy, like good for me. But it was keto. I would try paleo. I would try picking up a Juul. I just started smoking nicotine. I'm like, maybe this will make me not hungry. I tried to drink coffee. Coffee makes me anxious. So for the next 2 years, I basically started obsessing over what I ate. So I went from, you know, in high school, I couldn't eat. And then in college, I kind of was, you know, a little bit more normal. Like I didn't really think about it. now it was like every single thing that I put into my mouth, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, if I have this omelet today, then I could probably have Domino's for dinner. Like I was trying to like wager with myself. I don't know if that's the right word, but I no longer had a problem not eating. I had a problem eating everything in sight or going from one extreme to the next. Intermittent fasting, military diets with like tuna and two eggs a day, weeks. And then I would go through like weeks of Uber Eats. I would just quit. I would be like, whatever, like I lost 3 pounds. So now I'm just going to eat whatever I want for the next month. And then I would gain weight and do a few weeks of keto. It was a disaster, I would say, looking back. That went on for a while. I eventually met my fiance, Adam, and he's very health conscious. He works out like strictly. He follows his macros. He eats normal, balanced diets. He doesn't like beat himself up if he, you know, has a cheat day or even like a cheat week. He is normal. I don't know how to say. Yeah. He has a normal relationship.
It's so frustrating watching Craig be able to be like no issues, like other than sweets.
Seriously.
I think that's normal, right? I think people have a sweet tooth. That's probably the most normal that you can get. But yeah, I feel you so hard on that.
Dude, honestly, Greg deserves it. He can have all the sweets that he wants because of how, I know how like, you know, disciplined he is, just like Adam, yeah, with their diets. Like they can just get back on the wagon. I'm like, my wagon sank. My wagon sank when I was like 15 years old. I've never had one. I've never had a wagon before. So honestly, and this probably like happens with you too. Like it helps. Like imagine if you were with someone that had the same relationship to food that you do. And like, I feel so hard because I know that that's probably we're so lucky.
Yeah.
That's probably not the situation with a lot of people. Like, cause he really does help me want to do better. And it's easy when he's the one to say, like, don't bring Domino's into this household. And I'm like, that you're so crazy for making me do this. Don't tempt me with a good time. But thank God that he's health conscious because it really does help me. But my body dysmorphia never went away. I would say it's something that's like lingered like ever since I was 16. And it's only just gotten worse. So like when I was 16, when I was mentioning, like I could see my ovaries, literally my lower belly is what I always thought that I was just so big. And so it's kind of something that it just stays around. But I would say I'm finally getting to the end of my story, I promise.
No, I listen.
I would say.
Tell us all.
I know. It's interesting, like having the floor in something like this. It's yeah. I've never done anything like this. I'm just really glad to be sharing. But I would say COVID caused my eating disorder tendencies to kind of plummet to an all-time low. Like from the beginning of COVID to sitting here today, I've gained about 35 pounds. We lived in California and everything was closed when, you know, COVID was getting started. We were in LA County, so it was even a little bit worse. The grocery stores were nuts and we kind of lost control. The world was ending and I would be damned if I went out eating kale salads. Like, I'm just not going to do it. The world is ending and I'm going to eat, you know, whatever I want. I became a Michelin star chef. I had time to mince onions, zest lemon squares all day if I wanted to. You get the point. I almost had an actual like identity crisis, like with like how much that I gained so quickly, because I had already gained 20 from college. So now I'm at 50 since high school. So anyone that gains like that amount of weight, like you're going to notice a difference and you're going to feel weird about it for sure. But I would see the memes about eating and like gaining weight during the pandemic, and that did make me feel a little better. I would see that, and me and Adam both, like, it was such a sigh of relief. I'm like, oh, thank God. 6 million people have hearted this. Like, we're fine. Everything's fine.
Relatable.
literally. So seeing the memes about like overeating during the pandemic did make me feel a little bit better. But it didn't change about how I felt about myself. And this is pretty sad, like just the way that I would like kind of like compare. I would check other people's photos on Instagram and Facebook, like people that I knew, to see if they gained weight too. And I would compare their pictures of themselves to like a few months before. It's shameful. Like, I'm so embarrassed saying this, but like, I'm trying to be as honest as possible here. I would say that I couldn't like look in the mirror, but unfortunately, like, I couldn't stop. Like, I like would check like 12 times a day, maybe 15, to see like if I had become skinny yet. And also, like, when I saw, like, if I, let's say I did see, like, someone from high school, like, I'm looking at their pictures to see if they're also gaining weight during COVID, because what else do I have to do with my day? Like, as if, like, that's, as if I had anything better to do. It's interesting, if I did see that they had, like, I still looked at them and I was like, but she's beautiful, so, like, ignore that. But I couldn't give, like, myself the same grace, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was interesting. It wasn't like I was like, oh, she gained weight, she looks huge, like, oh, thank God. It wasn't like that. It was more like, oh, she's gained weight, but she's still beautiful. So like, that's besides the point. Let me try to find someone else. And I never could.
Yeah, I understand that too.
So kind of where I am now is that it really is at an all-time low, I would say. So you're catching me at a great time for the episode. Good for you. Going to the gym kind of just gives me anxiety. Like, I don't know. Like, I have been comfortable in the gym before. But, like, these days, like, it's just been so long that, like, I'm scared to have the wrong form. Like, I really don't want to hurt myself because, like I said, I go from one extreme to the next. So that's basically where I am now. Like, eating a healthy salad for lunch, it feels pointless. Like, I'm getting married in 5 weeks. I don't even know, like, what to do. Like, I went to a barbecue last night. I haven't tried to do anything. I've like given up. Like, I was keto for 2 weeks before my bridal photos, and I liked a lot of the pictures. Like, my photographer, our photographer, I stole Sam's life photographer from my wedding. Go Garcia.
Yes, Go Garcia. Yeah. Garcia. He's fantastic.
GEAUX. Look him up. He's the best. Yes. But I honestly got those pictures back and I was like, I'm giving up. Like, I liked a lot of them. I did feel beautiful in a lot of them. But in a lot of other ones, I just don't even know what I'm going to do for this wedding day, because I feel like I have so much room that I need to make before I'll be happy. But that's kind of, so that's where I'm at right now is the main thing.
Well, thank you for sharing all that, because I know that's
absolutely
so scary to say. And best part is I only have like, I don't know, like not that many listeners. So that's good too.
Thank God. No, this thing is going to go far.
But I, you know, what's funny, I think, which it's not funny, but what's funny is I think that we both had a very similar eating journey. Like, I started off with mm-hmm. very anorexic tendencies where I was doing restrictive dieting. The reason why I asked if you were aware, because I didn't realize until I was older either. And
oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's just common. You're just so in your head about like what's wrong with losing a few pounds. And then I gained in college. And I think from being just depressed in college. And mm-hmm. I think it's also growing up in households that didn't really have a healthy eating pattern either. So we didn't know how to. And now having to learn as an adult, it's not like they taught you in school how to eat mindfully and intuitively. They gave you pizza. I don't know what they give high schoolers now. They probably have a whole salad bar. You get what you get in our time of day. But we were lucky.
Seriously.
You know, so I think that I relate with you so much in everything you've said. And it's interesting that you brought up COVID, because I didn't even think about asking you questions about COVID, but I think that has affected a lot of people, especially people with eating disorders or body dysmorphia, because it's just, you think that, oh, this is a 2 week forced break that I get to take, mm-hmm. you know, and 2 weeks turns into like 2 months. And then you're 20 pounds heavier and you're like, oh, well, never, you know, and it's definitely challenging in those ways. I feel you so hard on that.
It just keeps happening to you.
Yeah.
It just kept happening to us, honestly. Yeah. It's going back to something you said about high school. I was thinking about this last night. I wish that because we had health classes, like we didn't have them often. It was like we had PE class often because that like legally, yeah. I'm pretty sure you had to give people so many. But for some reason, the health classes weren't important. Like that was not curriculum. They would throw in like our literal PE coach would put together a frickin' PowerPoint. And like maybe once a quarter, he would like give us a little like health thing. Like one quarter out of the four would be about STDs. And that was our education as far as actual health class goes. Yeah. And I wish that they would have taught about eating disorders in health class. Yeah. Because if someone would have told me like then, like you literally, well, I mean, my mom, like if only someone could have told me that I had a problem. Meanwhile, my mom's like shaking me every day. Yeah. She's like, just eat like anything, have a banana. Yeah. If only someone would have told me, I think it would have made anyone other than my mom. If anyone other than my mom would have
our
told
parents
me,
don't count what an in eating high disorder. School. I mean, like,
no,
please. If my parents,
you don't know anything.
My parents
shut
were
up.
So out of the loop, I think. And you know what's funny is I was extreme. So you were really already had a high metabolism, and so you were already really thinner on the thinner side, right? Well, I was like really overweight.
Yeah, and my mom is a health nut.
So yeah, no, my parents own a restaurant, as we've talked about before. I got leftovers on the daily. That's all I got. And so I was extremely overweight when I was younger. And so when I drastically lost weight, I ended up in a normal weight range, but I lost like 50 pounds in less than like half of a year. God. And everyone's like, oh my God, you look so great. And now everyone's just enabling me. You know, now everyone's, I'm just like, wow, I look great. I should just keep
say
on
less.
Eating. Yeah, say less. Yeah, I'll just not
literally.
Eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner again and see where we go from here. But it's so weird because, and I think that's when stuff gets overlooked too. And that's why I didn't think I had one because I would just hit my normal weight range. And
yeah,
it's so bizarre. I think that people real, especially the United States, have extreme issues when it comes to figuring out how to eat healthily.
It's a travesty, actually. I was telling someone about this recently. I saw a TikTok and this girl, she had just moved to like Italy. It was somewhere in Europe. And she recorded her pantry and her refrigerator and her freezer. She was like, this is what I eat. This is my regular diet. I literally saw Pop-Tarts, Totino's, pizza rolls. And it was the literal name brand stuff. Like, obviously, you can get that in other countries as well. But it was all these foods that are forbidden for me. Like, I can't touch a Pop-Tart. I can't, you know, eat this stuff because I'm just addicted. Mm-hmm. And she literally, like, at the end of the video, she was like, I've lost 50 pounds since I've been here. And it's because they don't use high fructose corn syrup. They're not using artificial coloring. So they have these Pop-Tarts, and they're not healthy Pop-Tarts, but they're just normal, like fruit. I'm sure they expire mm-hmm. within a normal time range, but it made me so sad. I'm like, can I go live in Italy for like 3 months and like just get back to a good weight and then come back? Or can I just live there forever?
Yeah.
Why are we like this here?
Yeah, they have so
Why are we
many
like this?
Things illegal in other countries that are legal here in our foods. And that's a whole other podcast episode. You can just maybe join in on that one. We'll do a deep dive episode on
I would love to
that bullshit. Maybe that could be your 2 a.m podcast episode.
Oh yeah, you guys, I'm trying to come up with a podcast. I think that's going to be it. My Google searches late at night.
I mean, wouldn't y'all be interested in that? Because if my ADHD brain was allowed up at 2 a.m because I fall asleep at like 9 p.m because actually, I know y'all think I'm 25, but I'm actually 83 years old. And I wake up at like 4, texting Mary her time 2 a.m. So she's up, Googling all the research she needs.
I'm like, the Mars rover is doing well. We have landed. We're getting great feedback from the rover.
I can't wait. So whenever that happens, we'll have to do something on here with that as well. Okay.
Sure.
So let's get back because we together could get Absolutely. Lost for 10 years. So did other people around you affect your body image? And if so, can you explain how they did?
For sure. So I think growing up, like when I was a teenager, like my main issue was anxiety, like causing me to not eat. Then eventually like that causing anorexia from being obsessed with losing weight and being thin. So at the time, I didn't really compare myself to others. It wasn't like I wasn't eating because I was looking at magazine covers of like beautiful, like thin models. It was mainly just anxiety and also like not knowing that I had a problem. I didn't have a problem comparing myself to other people. I just had an obsession with like being scared of getting fat and just wanting to be like so unbelievably thin.
Yeah.
So in the last couple of years after gaining weight, like being on the other side of it, I definitely compare myself to others now, and it's gotten to a really bad point. Especially like during COVID, like, I mean, I was literally comparing people I knew to themselves. Like that's a whole new level, honestly.
Did you do it to me?
It's sad too, because No, my God. It was like the people closest to me, it was wrong. It felt wrong. It was like acquaintances that I hadn't talked to in like 5 years. But also, like I was saying earlier, like I can recognize like that someone has gained weight and I still look at them and I'm like, this person is so beautiful. Like they're a bigger weight than me, but they're perfect. Like
that's how I feel. That's like when I met you and you were when we initially started talking about this, and I want to be as candid as Mary's being right now because I appreciate her vulnerability and candidness, but like I genuinely would get so frustrated with her when she would talk about her weight gain, which obviously isn't right of me, and that's more of a projection of my own issues. But I was like, girl, no. You weigh so much less than me and you look fantastic. And it's like it really does set a tone when you're talking about a scale.
Oh, for sure. It's also like how you feel with yourself too. Like, I mean, I still have an issue. Like, I honestly need to stop talking about it because I'm never happy with anything anyone says. Like, I'll be talking with like one of my best friends and I'm like, I've gained 30 pounds. Like, I hate myself. And they're like, but you look so good. Like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want to hear. I don't want to hear anything. But I completely relate because, like, even at the time when I was super thin, when I met you, like, you obviously, like, were, like, a bigger weight than me. But I looked at you and I was like, why can't I be more like Sam? Like, she looks so good. She looks so proportional. Like, I just felt like a stick figure, like, walking around, but still somehow, like, felt, like, large. It was honestly just ridiculous. The comparisons.
The grass is always greener on the other side.
Will get you. Most definitely. It's sad too, because like all I saw were beautiful women no matter what. And I have this big problem with seeing, like we were just talking about, like with seeing like women on Instagram and on TV, and I'll think that they are just so beautiful. Like I can't like think of an example. I mean, Beyonce, like if you actually look at the Kardashians, like, I mean, like they have large thighs. Like I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the way they look, but when I'm comparing them to myself, I'm like, well, my thighs are thinner than them, but I think that they're so beautiful. Like, but yet they look like they weigh more or like have bigger thighs than me. It sucks too, because I hate having these thoughts. Like I want to just watch my show. I don't want to think about how I'm like looking at the main character and I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, I think they do weigh more than me. I think they probably do. But it doesn't even matter, because I think that they are beautiful. Like, I just look at them and I'm like, but she's perfect. So like I said earlier, like she's perfect. So it doesn't even, whatever, we're going to not use her. And I can't give myself that same grace. Like I can't look at a picture of myself compared to when I was thinner and be like, oh, she's gained weight, but she's beautiful. I can't do that with myself. But I can do that with literally anyone else. Anyone from high school, easily. Beautiful. Looks so good on her. Anyone on Sex and the City, like just all of them. It's honestly just a disaster. So comparison is the thief of joy. I'm going to put it on a shirt.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I'm going to put it on a shirt. I read it somewhere. I wish it was my own, but
you can just say it was your own.
That's that. I know. I came up with it.
Well, how do you think food affects you? I know you've kind of talked about how it affects you today when we discussed your history with food, but tell me more about what you experience now. Like, do you still experience the binging? Do you still experience the anxiety with eating? Do you experience any shame or guilt afterwards of eating anytime?
So it sucks not being able to just like eat like a normal person. So like everything I eat is thought about so hard. Like I was mentioning kind of like in the beginning, like a day in my life is like waking up and trying to go as long as I can without eating or like thinking about what I'll eat that day. Like I wake up and I'm like, my goal today is to not eat anything. I hope I can just stick to that. But usually I make it to like 12 o'clock. And then by that point, I'm so hungry. I set myself up for failure. I'm like, I'm so hungry. I have to get Uber Eats like pancakes right now or else I'll just pass away. So, and also if I'm hungry enough, like I can talk myself into anything. It doesn't matter. Like you need food to live. And so I better get something good real quick. So if I get like In-N-Out or Taco Bell, I make it okay. I'm like, it's fine because one burger won't make a difference. Sam, I have said that once a week for 2 years. I eat Taco Bell probably once or twice a week. I'm obsessed. I don't know how I haven't gotten sick of that freaking quesadilla. I don't know how.
Because of the chemicals like that they put in it for you to get addicted to it.
It's true. Like thinking about it right now, my mouth is involuntarily watering.
No, I same.
So my relationship with food is so toxic. If I could have one wish from a genie in a bottle, it would be that someone else controlled what I eat. You're going to laugh. I want to be Charlie. I want to be my dog. I cook my dog's food. He eats better than me. Sam knows I have a golden retriever and his whole life, he's 7 years old. So he ate 2 cups of his dog food a day. The bag said that he needed to eat more, but this dog was 105 pounds. A healthy weight for a male golden retriever, I think 75 is the top number, maybe 70. So he was ginormous. Adam started calling him Hippo Dog. That name has stuck. We literally call him Hippo Dog, Hippopotamus. If Charlie was a person and not a dog, he would be talking about us in therapy. So he's like, they call me Hippo. It's honestly so rude. Like, I'm not in control of my life.
Imagine if we're calling each other Hippo. Like, hey, Hippopotamus. I had never thought of that.
Hippo Mary.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. My God.
That's awful. Continue.
Literally.
Stop calling him that this instant.
We're actually getting it printed on this is besides the point, but it has to be mentioned. Adam's mom, her friend, or it's like Adam's sister's friend from high school, she has a sugar cookie company, so she does like really intricate cookie designs. I think it's Cookies by Nicole if anyone wants to look it up on Facebook. But she's making cookies for our rehearsal dinner, and I was like, oh, I want Charlie's head on one. And she was like, do you want it to say anything? And I said, Hippo Charlie. So
now you're now you're,
it really has stuck.
Now you're not only just writing, I mean, telling him that, but you're like giving him a nameplate.
It's honestly offensive. But the joke is on every single one of us, because one day I started cooking his food thanks to my cousin Carmen. She gave me the lowdown on like how to be a dog food chef. I give him a grain, a protein, a vegetable, calcium supplements, vitamins, pumpkin, eggs, a fat, and some extra stuff like sardines and beets with every meal. Every meal. I do like meal prep it, so it's all like together, and then I just section it off into like little bags, so it's not like every single day I'm like slaving over his food and then I'm like eating a Lunchable for myself. No, it's more like every single, or like once every 4 days I slave over his food. And then for the rest of the week, I just kind of pour the bag into the bowl and then I eat a Lunchable for myself. Yeah. So anyway, he lost like 35 pounds for about 40 pounds in 5 months and became a pillar of health. I am getting married in 5 weeks. My wedding dress barely zips and I cannot stop going to Taco Bell. So in short, I would give a kidney to have no free will when it comes to food. I would give a kidney to be Charlie just for like, honestly, it doesn't even need to be for that long. 5 weeks, like, it would make such a big difference. If I could just eat his food. My dad actually ate it on accident one day. Sometimes like his food will be too hot and I don't want to put it in these plastic bags yet and like to section out. And so my dad was visiting us and he saw the Instapot in the refrigerator and we were about to go eat, but I'm getting ready and I'm taking forever. And if he gets hangry, it's going to be a problem. So he just starts eating it out of the Instapot. It was cold. It was like quinoa, turkey, pumpkin, like carrots. And it was all minced together. Like, I mean, I stir it all up and he didn't even mention it. Like he just ate it. He, you know, he's just trying to fill his stomach real quick to curb the hanger. And I feel like we were like, oh, it was later that night. And I get home, I go to feed Charlie. I'm putting the food into my dog's bowl. And he's like, just standing there looking at it. And he was like, huh? And I was like, what? And he was like, that makes sense. And my dad's so country. That makes sense. And I was like, what? And he was like, I ate some of that earlier. I was really hungry. I was wondering why it was so bland. I was thinking you could probably do better than that. I was like, you looked at that Instapot of that mush and you thought you've met me. Like, you know me. You thought that I would eat that? Like, I have such high taste. Like, this is why I've gained weight. It's the Uber Eats. I can't settle for a sandwich. I can't eat a sandwich. I can't even have, like, chicken and rice. Not good enough. I have to have like cordon bleu chicken. And my dad said, it's offensive that he would think that I would, I'm like, you know that I've gained 30 pounds. I mean, this is like last year. You think I would eat that?
My jaw anyway. Is to the floor that he realized it he when it. You were giving the food to Charlie.
I know, literally. So that's my relationship with food these days. If I just didn't have free will, I think that would be a big deal when it came to food, just food.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that when I'm going through my, I feel like I'm very back and forth. I feel like you said something earlier about all or nothing or one extreme to the next. And that's kind of how I am too. And I'm trying to learn to not be that way because not only am I like that with food, but I'm like that in other areas of my life too. So I want to be able to learn to be more consistent. But yeah, definitely. I think that working with Craig on meal prepping our food has been helpful with that. But I still will order in Uber Eats. I'm so pissed that that even is a thing because
I know
I'm too lazy to actually go get it. I don't want to call myself lazy. I do not ever feel like actually leaving the house to get myself food. So maybe I'd stick around and eat the food in my house more often if it wasn't so readily available to me.
For sure. And I want to commend you for stopping yourself from talking badly about yourself. I noticed you started to call yourself lazy and then you said that you didn't want to do that. This is what I mean when I need to go to therapy, because I feel like it's those little tools that you like kind of are given. Yeah. And I just like see how much you've grown. I mean, this is besides the point, but like, I had to shout that out because that was literally like so nice to hear. Like, cause God forbid, like I hear my friends talk badly about themselves. I'm like, shut up, shut up. You beautiful bitch. Like, how dare you speak to yourself that way? Meanwhile, I like actually look in the mirror and I say out loud, I'm like, how could you do this to yourself?
I mean, I've been going to therapy for years too.
For sure.
Like, know that. And I do the same thing with Mary. We, by the way, I hope we're not offending anyone by how giddy
I know
be with this conversation. That's
honestly,
that's exactly our coping styles. And if we're not meaning to come off as like this is a light subject, it's just uncomfortable to talk about sometimes, and it's easier to cover the uncomfortableness with some humor involved in it. I'm speaking for myself. I don't want to speak for you, Mary.
No, you're hitting it on the head. Like it might sound like it's like we're being insensitive towards the matter or like not taking it seriously, but like we are best friends and we do talk about this probably once every other day or more. So it feels so, first of all, this conversation feels so normal. Yeah. And it's like how you would talk about something with your like good friend. Like, I mean, I laugh a lot. Like, I probably laugh after every other sentence, but it's to stop myself from crying. Yeah. Like, honestly.
Dude, yeah.
So the trigger warnings will be real in the beginning of this.
Yeah, I will but... be sure to trigger warn about our laughing at this as well. So moving on to number five, have you ever sought counseling or treatment for eating or body image disorders?
Yeah, so finally last year around August, I decided to sign up for BetterHelp. I was struggling with depressions, like on top of the mountain of issues that I have revolving, like my image, like my self-image, my like self-love, I guess, and like eating disorders. I was struggling with depression and just wanted to like give therapy a try finally. Honestly, like you inspired me the most. Like it has helped you so much and I've seen you grow from it so much. Like from the time that I've met you to now, like not that you weren't perfect before. I just like there's always room for growth. And like I've just like seen you like benefit so much from it. And I really wanted that for myself. Like Sam helps me so much with my relationships with other people. Like, I mean, like I remember like me and Adam would get into arguments sometimes and I'm sending her screenshots of me and his texts. It's like before we moved in together. And she's the best because she's honest. She's like, honestly, like I really do think that you're being a little unreasonable here.
And she's like, and like you did this. And you, I'm like,
yes, exactly. She's like, you have to learn about you statements. You're like attacking him. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's a little ridiculous that he's acting this way. No, so Sam is, in short, my therapist. but I finally signed up and it was August 2021. I got matched with a therapist who only did live chat sessions. It's not what I was looking for. I did want like video like sessions and for it to feel like a little bit more normal being virtual. But I didn't really feel like continuing to search for one. Like they all looked perfect to me. I'm like, they're all like mental health professionals and I need to speak to I need professional help right now. So I just went with it. She was really great. I had a total of 4 sessions with her over a month. We talked about my relationship with food. She had good advice. She said eating was a comfort for me and I should try to find another hobby. So like because with the depression, like my favorite thing to do was sit on the couch and watch Netflix. Why would I want to do that without a box of Cocoa Puffs in my lap, yeah, amongst other things? Like I not only need something sweet, I need something salty and sour and like a steak and mashed potatoes all at the same time. So we kind of came up with some things that I could do to keep myself busy instead of like sitting around obsessing over food. We came up with learning Spanish, doing yoga, and going to Topgolf, which is so funny. But I lived in Texas at the time. I've moved all over. We don't have to get into it. But I was living in Austin, and I just wasn't doing well. I didn't enjoy living there. We moved there like in the beginning of 2021. So it's just hot and there's not a lot to do, but they do have Topgolf and it's fun to just whack the shit out of some golf balls, honestly. And their food is so good. I'm not going to lie. I won't lie. So I'm like telling my therapist, I can't remember her name, Alyssa, maybe. I'm telling her like how much I love Topgolf. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's Skillet Cookie though. And she's like, you should definitely like, you know, get into Topgolf more. I'm like, don't do this. No, but it's, I'm ridiculous. But anyway, so I'm not really an athlete. Whacking golf balls, like I said, it's just fun. I already know a lot of Spanish, so it seemed like a good goal to just see it through. And then yoga, like I hate my posture. Well, I shouldn't say I hate my posture. I do though. But
you were halfway at that correction. You were halfway there. I appreciate
it. I know. I hate it. it was thanks to you. I need to work on my posture. I got like a large boobs at a really young age. I think I was like 11 and I had really big boobs. Mm-hmm. And like, of course the kids at school are so mean. They're like, they're starting rumors that I stuff my bra because I wear a sweatshirt every day in August in Louisiana. First of all, Candace, her name wasn't Candace. I wore a sweatshirt awesome. Every day because I was rolling my skirt to make it shorter. Not because I was stuffing my bra. My boobs were naturally huge. I was trying to make my skirt shorter. But anyway, the kids were so mean. So anyway, I would try to hide my boobs. So I would like hunch my shoulders over like forward to make it all look even. You know, if I hunch my shoulders over, it looks about even with my huge boobs. So anyway, I was thinking yoga. Maybe that'll help my posture. I will say I never once decided to do some yoga over ordering a pizza, but it is a nice little tip to have under my belt for the future. It's a little tool that I didn't have before I had these sessions. You know, I never thought about that. Like, it's just something I like to do. I enjoy eating. So maybe I could like start playing chess instead, like Mary. Okay. So I would have continued my BetterHelp membership. I enjoyed it. Like I really liked being in therapy. I looked forward to those sessions, and she helped me with a lot of other things as well. Like I didn't just see her for eating disorders. Like she helped me with a lot. But unfortunately my dog was diagnosed with cancer the next month. It was in October, and I needed that extra $300 a month to put towards his chemo. So I canceled like all of the monthly reoccurring bills that I could. I would love to get back into therapy if like Charlie's cancer magically disappears one day. That was October. It's February now. He still has it. It was stage 4 lymphoma. He still has it. It's getting better. Like he just goes like once every 3 weeks to have chemo. And it was like once a week every 3 weeks with a 1 week break there for a while. So it is getting better. They had thought he went into remission, but then like he didn't. I don't know. I just kind of stopped posting about it for anyone that like knows me and knows Charlie and everything. But it is expensive. Now we live in California. We left Austin after like 10 months. We live in California again. And the price of his treatment is about 4 times the amount for the same thing we were paying in Austin. It's 4 times. So definitely can't afford therapy right now, but thank God I have you and this podcast. So it's okay.
Yeah, that's...
I'm quit crying. It's fine.
That's definitely a huge issue that a lot of people face, and why people don't go seek mental health help, because it can be just unaffordable. And
it's so expensive.
Yeah, and then going through insurance, some people don't want to do that. Some people don't want their insurance to have a record of a diagnosis for forever, you know?
For sure.
So I get that. And I will be here as much as I can for you, always.
Appreciate it.
So what advice can you give to others with who are struggling with an eating disorder or struggling with having a healthy relationship with their food?
Okay. So usually I'm pretty good at giving advice that I don't take myself. Used to when I was in bad relationships, I was the queen of like, you need to do this. Meanwhile, I'm like not doing well. But when it comes to this, like I honestly don't know. I'm in no position, but I would say just talking about it helps, because you never know who else is struggling. And the only thing that helps me like right now is knowing that I'm not alone. That relates, yeah. I guess. Yes. And I would have never known that had we not talked about how we both struggle with that. Yeah. So talking about it, because you never know who else is struggling, and you can help each other. Like, I mean, you helped me a lot with it. Like you said, like you try not to talk badly about yourself. Like you tell me all the time, like you have to talk to yourself like you are a friend of yours. Yeah. Like if my friend spoke to me the way that I spoke to myself, like I would block her.
Yeah.
Like, don't you dare. Like, it's so mean. So I think normalizing, like talking about eating disorders has become so popular ever since COVID. And I think it's great. I don't wish it were any different. But as soon as I learned what body dysmorphia was a couple of years ago, it's really messed me up. Like, I do not know what I look like, and I obsess over what my reality actually is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but like before I knew I had body dysmorphia, like I didn't have that in the back of my mind every time I looked in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like right now it's hard to look in the mirror because I have no idea what I'm seeing. Like I'll literally take videos of myself like doing menial tasks, and then I'll watch them just to try to see what my reality is. Mm-hmm. And I watch it and I don't know who I'm looking at. It's really hard to describe, and I hope that someone listening to this is like, same,
yeah.
Like same. It's hard to know what you look like. And it's because I've read so much about it. So the flip side of talking about it and normalizing it is that it's now I can classify myself in that way. And that kind of sucks, because I know that when I didn't know that I had it, my life wasn't like this, and it was better.
Yeah.
But To answer your question, my advice is probably what my therapist constantly told me, even though I haven't been able to achieve it ever. It's give yourself grace. She would say, if you eat Taco Bell or a box of family-sized Oreos, that's what your body wanted. And your body is strong. It does so much for you. It's keeping you alive. It serves a purpose. So give yourself grace and don't be mean to yourself. Like I said earlier, if a friend talked to you the way you talk to yourself, would you block their ass? Like, I'm literally a bully. Like, don't bully yourself. Like, it's cruel. Like, that's my advice. It's easier said than done. It's a battle every day. I wish I could say things are looking up. Hopefully I'm back on here in a few months and have a hack for everyone on how to just cure your eating disorder and how to have a normal relationship with food. I definitely want to have some sort of happy update in a few months. But yeah, I think giving yourself grace is the one thing that my therapist constantly said, because I was like a broken record. Like, oh my God, like, I really can't remember her name. I don't think it's Alyssa. Like, oh no, Alyssa, I ate like 3 boxes of cheesecake, like the whole box. And she would never be like, oh my God, Mary, you have to stop. She would always be like, you have to give yourself grace. It's not a huge deal. Like, you got to just like pick yourself up from the bootstraps, yeah. Move forward. Like, it's fine.
So it's crazy because you saying that, I feel the same way. Like, if I mess up, so I've been working on this a lot and I try to not do this now. And it's been better. But when I mess up on my quote unquote dieting or my healthy eating, I don't really like to talk about my healthy eating as a diet because I don't think it's just not like you break your diet and you messed up and that's the whole thing in my head. So if I mess up,
it's a lifestyle.
Right. If I eat something that's not considered healthy, I don't have to just train wreck myself and be like, well, I messed up, might as well just eat like crap for the rest of the day. And so now it's like, okay, just like you ate that today, just go back to not, you know. And it is yeah. Such an all or nothing sometimes. I totally relate.
It's hard to like just continue. Like, it sometimes I think about the fact that like I will have to eat food for the rest of my life. And it literally makes me sick thinking about that. I'm like, I literally want to cry right now. Like, I'm going to have to deal with this for how much longer? Like, when is it going to get better? Like, I don't want to have to, think about, like I was talking about, like, earlier. Like, it's a constant, like, battle with myself. Like, I can't just wake up and eat an omelet. I'm like, well, if I eat an omelet right now, what will I have for dessert after breakfast? If I have this omelet, then I can probably Uber Eats and donuts after. Mm-hmm. And then, on Tuesday, it's Stacey's birthday. And I know that I'm going to go off the wagon then because we're going to have Italian food. And, you know, I can't stop when it comes to Italian food. So it's just, it sucks to think about how it's something that it is a necessity in life. And I will constantly have to deal with these like decisions and like thoughts. Yeah. So I can't wait to get back into therapy, honestly, because she did help a lot. It was only 4 weeks, but like, I do know that I could just sit down and do some yoga maybe instead of watching my show and, you know, eating a bag of Queso y Pepe puffs from Trader Joe's.
Yeah. I mean,
I wish I had like better advice. It just almost feels wrong to give any, because I mean, if you would have caught me when I was like 19 when we met, I would have been like, oh my God, life is so good. Like, I just smoke a bunch of weed and eat whatever I want. And I'm kind of thin, but a little pudgy, but it's fine. Like, I feel like those 2 years is when it was just really going well, you know? But I didn't have a lot of other worries to think about, I guess, in college. I was just kind of working and going to school. I was busy. I wasn't thinking about like eating all day. And yeah, so it's the best advice that I can give. It's just give yourself grace. Someone should. I can't, but
it's the best advice that you can give yourself. That's all they teach us in school right now, is to give yourself grace. I'm sure your therapist learned that through counseling school, because truly it has, just knowing that phrase has helped a lot too, you know, just being able to be like, I really need to take a step back, like listen how I'm talking to myself sometimes. The last thing I have to ask, and I thank you for everything that you've been talking about so far and how honest you've been this whole time. I just want to know what your ideal relationship with food would look like and where you'd like to be with it.
For sure. So my lifestyle right now is everything I eat has to be the very best or I won't be happy. And that's just not healthy. Like, I just want to be normal. I don't want to obsess. I don't want to look in the mirror and like take pictures of myself in random angles to see if I'm pretty or skinny yet. Like, I don't want to skip the gym for 3 months and then beat myself up over it every single night after thinking about how another day went by and I didn't do anything like active more than like walk my dog around the block. So I just kind of want to obsess over something else. Like, I work in sales. If I put half the effort I put into obsessing over fad diets and weighing myself and measuring my waist into my job to make more commission, I could probably afford my dog's chemo and therapy at the same time. But like, honestly, my like role model when it comes to like health and like diet, I mean, besides Adam and Craig, is Adam's sister. So his sister, Jessica, she's a personal trainer, and she helped me out a lot because she knew me well. Like, I'm no stranger. I'll talk about it with anyone. Anyone could ask me. A stranger on the street could be like, what's your relationship with food? And I would be like, how long do you have? Let's talk about it. Like, I'm ready to talk about it.
Actually, now it's on this podcast. Jessica, you can just go check it out and you can know.
Right? I'm going to QR code this link and I'm going to tattoo it onto my body in case anyone ever wants to talk about it one day. And I could literally even do a part two. Like, I'm not even done. No, but God bless Jessica. Like, God bless America and God bless Jessica, because she is not judgmental. She will be honest with you. Like, and she tries to help in so many ways. Like, she never stopped trying to help me. Still to this day, like, she's there if I need to talk with her about it. I would just send her pictures of all the food that I ate, and she would kind of like just help me out from there. Like, it's that simple. Like, I would send her a picture of a salad, and then like for lunch I would make these like chicken wraps, and then for dinner I made, you know, like chicken and macaroni and cheese. And then at the end of the day she was like, honestly, like, you eat a good amount of cheese. Like, what, like, you put a ton of cheese on things, and I don't think you need that much. Like, maybe just use a little bit less. Like, maybe try like the vegan cheese, like the plant-based cheese. But she was so reasonable. And so I admire her relationship with food. And like, of course, like, I know she probably like has her struggles. My ideal relationship with food would be like how she lives her life. Like, she will eat whatever she wants. I mean, if she wants to have some pizza, like, she'll definitely go get it. I just don't think she wants it. I don't think she wants it that often.
Yeah.
Like, she enjoys healthy food. Like, she has fun making like healthy recipes, doing healthy substitutions. So I'm just lucky that I'm marrying into such a healthy family that can try to help inspire me to do better, at least. I want to shout out Jessica's ad on Instagram also.
Yes,
real
go
quick.
Ahead.
Everyone go follow her. It's J Hall Dance Fit. You'll find her there. I don't think there are many of those. J Hall Dance Fit.
Like the letter J, not like J-A-Y,
J-H-A-L-L,
Dance Fit.
Yeah, let her inspire others as well, I hope.
Yeah. Well, Mary, I hope that you telling your story today got to inspire some people, and I think it will, because I do think that a lot of people struggle silently with just – their issues and how and relationship with eating and food, and it can show how long of a journey this can be. I mean, this hasn't been just a few months. It can be years.
Seriously.
And so I hope that you know, that whoever is listening, maybe they know someone or they themselves could really have used this. I really do think that you have been helpful in that way for them.
I hope so. And we can't stress enough, like, that we really hope that this doesn't come off as, you know, us being insensitive or, I don't even know, like, how to describe it, because it just feels so normal, like, the conversations that we have. But just know that everyone's relationship is different. Mm-hmm. Like, people can, it can be really serious. And maybe it's a lesson to people, like, you hear someone like me talking about it, and like I sound so like happy and laughing constantly, but like it's so hard.
Yeah.
And you just never know, I guess, like what someone's like relationship is with food, or like, you know, how they're acting. Cause like maybe how they talk like sounds like it's lighter than what it is. So just know that everyone's like relationship is different. Mm-hmm. And you can't really like, no one is to say like how someone's like, I guess like situation should be.
Yeah.
So if you yourself don't find it funny to talk about, or you know, you're not laughing and it's a completely different like situation, like don't think like, oh, I wish I could be more like this bitch who hasn't stopped making jokes for 2 hours. It's not, you don't want to be this bitch, I promise.
Yeah, it's such
nervous laugh
coping mechanism. It really is. And other people have different coping mechanisms. I think that's something that bonded me and Mary so much and probably held us back in some situations, because I think we were like, oh man, you know, just made it so lighthearted. But she's right. If you have a friend mm-hmm. that talks about the same problems that they're having and they're making light of it, you know, try to check in with them. Definitely advise mm-hmm. not to push too much, because it can cause retaliation and retraction from that person. But I mean, just offer your support and your ear as much as you can, because it's a daily struggle.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for having me. I love you so much, and I am so happy for you. This is where you're meant to be. I love what you're doing, and your previous episodes have helped me so much, especially like not being able to afford therapy right now, and I'm sure other people can relate. And I can't wait to see your name on the New York Times billboards, like the Call Her Daddy girl and Kim Kardashian. You're going to be up there.
Okay. Well, I love you too. I want to address that first. I want to skip right over that. I love you. Well, I'm just so happy that it was you that I got to talk to you about this with.
Absolutely. Me too. Thank you so much, everyone. It has been such a pleasure. If anyone wants to like reach out and talk to me about anything, if there are any professionals that would like to sponsor my therapy journey, I can give out dog meal plan diets in return. That is something that I can do. I do feel capable enough to do that. I have two Instagrams. My other Instagram is just my name backwards, so it's Kcolla Byram, Kcollubyram. So but thank you guys, and I hope that this like at least helped someone, one person, and I'll be happy. It helped myself to talk about it. So there's the one person.
Yay. Awesome.
Okay, everyone. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and got something out of it. Thank you again, Mary, for joining us today and being vulnerable and open about your own experience. I'd like to take this moment to say that if you or someone you know, someone you love, is suffering or struggling with an eating disorder, you can contact 1-800-931-2237. And just remember that you aren't alone in your struggles. You don't have to feel like you had to do this all on your own. There are also people out there that are struggling and that want to help. So thank you for listening today, and I'll see you next time. Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DreamScape, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.